You take your Bible and turn to Psalm 139. Our text of this morning is Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. We will read them again as we begin our message together this morning. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Martin Luther used to talk about God's ordinary works and the wonder of God's ordinary works. They were very wonderful and common and constant, yet we didn't appreciate them because they come so often and they are there without interruption. That God rules the world and upholds the creation, and because things run their daily courses, we seem to take it for granted. He said that this wonderful work of God is as wonderful or more wonderful than Christ feeding the 5,000 with five loaves of bread, or Christ's work in making wine out of water as well. We do fail to appreciate them, don't we, as they seem to be so commonplace in our life. Day after day after day, God's comprehensive care is seen in our world and in our daily lives. God is intimately involved in our world and in our lives too as well. He knows everything about us. He is always there. He has fashioned and shaped us. He has ordained all our days, and He is with us the whole of our days, working out His wonderful providence in our life. God is intimately involved with you and I. And it already began way back in our personal formation. God showed His intimate care and concern and involvement in our lives and our very beginnings, even in a dark place such as the womb. The psalmist celebrates God's intimate care in our lives by thinking of it throughout the whole of our lives, but then by backtracking way back to the very beginnings there. He says God doesn't know us in a vague way, but He knows us intimately in the most dark places there as He created and knit us together in our mother's womb. Yes, God has control over the whole of our being and the whole of our days. As He was back there, as we were formed into human beings, He was as if the master craftsman there, intertwining sinew and veins and bones, intimately involved in that formation process. Over in the book of Job, in chapter 10, verses 8 through 12, it describes it this way. Your hand shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews? You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence you watched over my spirit. Yes, it was the Lord that had the big part, the whole part, in your formation. In verse 15, the psalmist says that our frames was not hidden from you when we were made in the secret place, when we were woven together in the depths of the earth. Now we have the modern technology and we have all these engineers and people who put together those machines from GE. They could tell us about some of the modern technology that we have. But much of it is hidden to us unless we have those special instruments there. And the psalmist says, look back at God's sonogram and what God has done in putting you together. God is not only the owner of the inward parts, God is the not just the observer, but God is the creator and former and giver of life. And what a wonderful gift and what a precious thing it is. And God deserves the praise for what He's done. You might notice these little feet that are up on my lapel here. It ended up that somebody had them this week and was wearing them, and we got into a conversation about that, and then they had a set to give to me so I could wear them. Those feet there are the size of a baby at 10 weeks old. Imagine that, those little feet and all those distinguishing features that are there at 10 weeks old. The wonder of God's work knitting us together. Over the internet, there was a story about the world's tiniest baby doing well in Chicago. In the month of December, these two twins were born. One was larger than the others. The smaller one of the two weighed 8.6 ounces. Can you imagine that? 8.6 ounces. If you had a can of Coke here, and you had the baby versus the can of Coke would be heavier than that little baby that was born. The mother had some complications, and so the babies had to come by C-section, and they came at 25 weeks and 6 days. The one that was heavier went home from the hospital already. The lighter one was supposed to come home near the beginning of January here. The wonder of what God has done, and you can see that formation, even in someone less than 6 months old, all the wonders of God's creative work. When you think about abortion, you have to think of it in terms of God's intimate formation work. That it is a sin that slights God's work there. It is, in a sense, the place where the handiwork and fingerprints of God are seen as He's knit together this little baby. And it's the taking of that life, of that little one that God has created and made in that fashion. And so it is a violation against the image of God in man. And it's a violation as well of the commandment not to murder. It is a forgivable thing, and the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and the Lord will forgive that sin that some have committed, but it is a sin nonetheless that is there. But the good news of the gospel is the fact that through Jesus, God can forgive that and cleanse that sin and restore the person who's committed that sin. He's the author of life. And God uses the biological processes to create life. And the more we learn about the complexity of those biological processes, the stronger the proof there is for God's overriding knowledge and His presence as our personal creator. The psalmist says, even before we were born, God was part and parcel making and shaping us. Nothing passed by God in His secret workshop. He's the craftsman that knit and made us how He wanted us to be. He fashioned us according to His design. Have you ever struggled with the gifts or the type of person that God has made you? I'm not talking in terms of sin, but I'm talking about just the gifts and the calling and personality and all those things that you are. Well, if you take it apart from sin, you have to see it as God's wonderful work, that He's given us the abilities and gifts and personality that He wanted us to have. Sometimes we have a bad self-concept as we look at ourselves, but we must recognize that we are made just how God wanted us to be. In His wonderful designing work, He made you to be you, to have the gifts and personality that God wanted you to have. Now, we recognize there's the problem of sin, and sin has distorted things, but God nonetheless has made you just like He's wanted you to be, and He wants you to praise Him for His wonderful work, for what He has done, to praise Him for His handiwork, that your whole being has been prearranged by God, and nothing is outside His sight and hand. We cannot escape His intimate involvement in our lives and our own creation, and He knows us as well perfectly even now. If you think about it, such creative power and providential work is wonderful that God has done it. But when you think about it, you think of the fall, how far we have come down because of our sin. We have been given such a dignity, but it makes the fall even more of a tragedy, that the pinnacle of God's creative activity, the works of His hands that are seen in His image that is given to us, that the pinnacle of God's activity would fall away from Him. But the good news is God has given us the possibility of being restored through Jesus, to be restored as the image bearers of God, no longer defaced image of God, no longer distorted image of God, but recreated, yes, not fully changed, but much of it changed, waiting for that day when the full recreation will happen, where we will be perfectly in the image of God again. And so you see God's wonderful work in forming and knitting together you and making these other little lives that are around us in the world. But it's not only seen in God's formation work, it's seen in God's intimate involvement in our ongoing life, Some of you have lived in the same location all your life. You've never moved, but others of you have moved. And one of the difficulties of moving is those saying of goodbye to family and friends. I think of the saying of goodbye to friends. You leave and maybe you keep some touch with them, but you don't have their continual presence along the way. Well, as the psalmist thinks of our creative work, it isn't as if God moves then, or we move away from God, but God continues His intimate involvement in our life throughout our days. Notice the 18th verse for a moment. Were I to count them, that is the thoughts of God, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And that 17th verse, he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. That God is sovereignly involved in our life throughout all our days, from the very beginning to the end. That God doesn't just create David or create us and let us go from there. That we're not just subject to chance, but God's overarching providence and care is there. That He gets personally involved with our lives and stays personally involved in our lives. In fact, the psalmist speaks about all the days being written in God's book before one of them came to be. That he sees there's this book that God has, and he writes down what is to happen for our days. In the New Testament, it speaks of God's people being written, their names in the book of life. Here in this Old Testament text, it sees a book there as well, but this book is a story of our lives from beginning all the way into eternity there. And that God's care is so ultimate, it comes to the ultimate of expression in the all-knowingness of God and the all-presence of God, because He not only knows about us, but God has foreordained everything that happens in our lives, that life is not a chance happening. It's not as if God is an absentee landlord. He started it up over here and He gives up on us from there. No, every single day of our life has been framed by God. He's not only framed us as persons and made us together in our mother's womb, but He has knit every one of our days and the events of those days before one of them came to be. Grasp that for a moment. Grasp that all your life, all your experiences have been foreordained by God before you were even born. That God mapped them out in a book, and they're there in His book, and it is a book of God's loving care, of His wonderful concern for us. Every single event is marked out in there by this God who is all wise, who is all sovereign, and who is all loving. He has put this all together in that book. As one writer put it, God penetrates all life, all action, all thought, and intention from beginning to end. In other words, the Lord is and knows you inside out. Inside out. You have secrets, as we all do, that maybe no human being knows, or maybe one or two human beings know. but you don't want it out at large. The psalmist says, God not only knows, He foreordains. That God is personally involved with our lives, and He highlights it by God's predestination work. That God has ordained our days not impersonally, but as a God who's involved in every part of our life, even our birth. That David's life was not ultimately determined by David. No, that David was not the master of his own fate, the captain of his own soul. But for David and for us, God has a plan, and there are no surprises in the plan of God. He knows what the future will bring forth. Why or how? For He Himself has determined the future and marked out our days. He's predetermined our life, and what God does is right and good. Yes, you're responsible. Yes, you have responsibilities. Yes, David was responsible. Yes, David had responsibilities. And someone might say, isn't that mechanicalistic, God determining all our days before one of them came to be? There's a wonder here that we don't fully understand, that we could be human agents who have human responsibility, but God has foreordained everything that comes about. There is some things that are beyond us to know that I do what I want to do, but yet God has foreordained everything in my life. We don't fully comprehend it, and we don't need to fully comprehend it for it to be right. It's a wonderful thing for God to mark out our days. A God who sent His Son Jesus to the cross for us. A God who spared not His own Son. And the question comes, if God is for us, how can He be against us? And the question, well, how do we know that God is for us? Because He spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not along with Him freely give us all things? He gave us the greatest gift with Jesus. How could He not give us the lesser gifts? I've used this illustration before. If you go to the Cadillac dealer and you're going to buy a new Cadillac, and there you are, you have $42,000 to set down for the new car there. And there you are, and you're a little bit nervous. You've never bought a car before with cash, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're getting a car. And you ask the salesman, I'm buying the Cadillac. Does it come with an engine? He laughs. Of course it does. Does it come with a steering wheel? You're buying the Cadillac. Yes, it comes with that. Does it come with a stereo system? You betcha it comes with a stereo system. Realize this, you're not buying, I won't say it because I'll get in trouble. You're not buying this, but you're buying a Cadillac. You get the whole shebang when you buy this car here. You're getting the whole thing. Don't wonder about the other things. In the same way God has given us the gift of His own Son, has not spared His own Son, and we can have confidence that God will give us all the other good gifts that we need because He does it for our good and for His glory. And this is a wonderful thing, that you're not an afterthought with God. It's not as if, oh, I didn't think of that, or I didn't control that, or I had nothing to do with that. My wife's in the nursery, so I can get away saying this as long as you don't give her the CD or repeat this. But I don't keep her on my mind all the time, folks. I don't. My mind is like that. It can only keep things in there one at a time. And so I might tell her that from time to time, you're always on my mind, but it's not always true, folks. She's not always on my mind. But in terms of God and you, in terms of God and little ones that are created by Him, they're on His mind. You are on God's mind constantly. His thoughts don't come and go, but they are constant. A concern and a loving concern towards you is found with the Creator God and providential God of the universe. So we see it there as well. Well, what does the psalmist do? How does he respond? Well, it is a wonderful response. A wonderful response, or a response of wonder, full of wonder. Verse 15, He doesn't complain about this. God, this is just unfair, ordaining all my days before one of them came to be. I don't want anything to do with it. No, what does he do? Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then verse 17 is his response. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There is a sense of wonder over the work of God, knitting us together, the nerves and veins and arteries and bones and muscles and membranes and skin are skillfully interconnected together. And David knew little about the modern technology, about the sonograms that we have. He knew little about that, but yet he's full of praise unto God for the creative beginnings, for the ordaining of all the days and God's plan being carried out. But he gives special praise to God. As man is God's masterpiece, is heaven's masterpiece. As God has done something wonderful in the gift of human life. This is some older information, so it might be a little outdated, but nonetheless, I think it gives us perspective. You might know the name Dr. Carl Sagan. Not exactly someone who believes the Bible or believes in the Lord. Far from that. But he was talking about a single human chromosome, that it contains 20 billion bits of information. 20 billion bits of information. You want to get a handle on that? Look at it this way. If this were written down in human language, it would be 3 billion letters. 3 billion letters. Imagine writing a term paper like that. 3 billion letters. If you wrote a term paper, 3 billion letters, 6 letters in the average word, that would be 500 million words. Pastor Michael thinks he has long-term papers. 500 million words. That would be normal pages, 2 million pages. And if the books are not those easy readers, but 500 pages a piece, that would be 4,000 volumes. 4,000 volumes. Fearfully. Wonderfully made. The best craftsman, the finest engineer, the most incredible scientist cannot come close in the beauty and complexity and diverse structure that God has made into human beings as he's created them. Fearfully and wonderfully made, you cannot even begin to fathom that. And you can only respond with wonder and awe to God for who he is. One cannot think of God and his creative work in forming little ones and his work in ordaining our days without responding in praise unto God. Into wonder and love and praise for a creator who's like that. You cannot remain cold and passive and frigid there. No, this work of creating and providentially making us, and then that work in ordaining all our days is not cold, is not frigid, but it is overwhelming to think that God has done all this and he continues to do it. Psalmist just is overwhelmed by God's thoughts. Notice that 17th verse. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Now, David isn't speaking of his thoughts, David's thoughts of God. No, he's speaking of God's thoughts of David. And it's not as if God wound up this human body, got it going like an alarm clock, and then left it behind. No, God has constantly got us on his mind, that God is constantly thinking of us. And he says, how precious are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. They are incredible. They are a treasured possession to think like a beautiful jewel. God is constantly thinking of, and he begins to number them. You can imagine this. I've used this illustration before, going down to the seashore. And there you are. Well, we'll take Lake Michigan since it's closer. You've got 3 weeks vacation. Wow, you've got a lot of vacation there. There you are down by the seashore and you're taking your little bucket and you're taking your magnifying glass and counting the grains of sand as you put them in the bucket. 1, 2, 3. Exciting vacation. 4, 5. Oh, I lost count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get something to eat. Go get something to eat, come back, start over. 1. Oh, we'll just say there's 100 in there already. 2, 3. And there you go. 1 day. Not 1 day. There's 2 days. Not 2 days. There's 3 days. There you are, and your eyes are going nuts from counting all these grains of sand. He says, think of that picture and compare God's intimate involvement in our lives and His thoughts towards us to counting all those grains of sand from Milwaukee up to Sheboygan, just for a beginning there. Begin to do that. His thoughts are innumerable and incomprehensible. They are truly comprehended, but they are beyond us. Our little mind is baffled and blown. The circuits have melted, folks. The deep wisdom of God. The beauty of God, the majesty of God, but yet He would have concern for you, poor and needy, that He would love you personally and give His Son to die for you, believer. The infinite mind of God like that. Are we just a product of time and chance? That's cold and cruel and hard and frightful. Or are we the product of an amazing God who shapes and molds and fashions and ordains all our days? This is a psalm of personal awareness of the majesty and goodness of God, of His presence. God's care reaches over the creation. It pervades everything. It illumines the darkest places. His knowledge has no limits. He pierces the deepest recesses. Even before we are actually born, we are under God's control, not in a vague way, but in a personal way. God has known us intimately. He knows us inside out, and we are His handiwork. And life is the gift of one who is personally involved in fashioning people in the womb and then abiding with those who are His children in an intimate way through the whole of their life and bringing them into eternity. We are the marvelous product of His creativity. We are His handiwork. What a wonder it is. And so how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I celebrate them and I know it full well. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You have done amazing things. Oh Lord, to think of the complexity of human life and how You mold and shape it, to You belongs the praise and thanksgiving. As we look around at the little ones in our congregation, we're reminded of Your creative power and majesty. As we look at those in our own family and church family, we see the reflections of Your handiwork, O God. And praise goes to You. As we look at our own gifts and calling, O Lord, and personality, may the praise go to You. As we look around, O Lord, at each of our days, may we know that we lie within the hand and control of a sovereign God. And Lord, not only are You sovereign, but You're loving and wise. And we thank You and praise You that, O Lord, everything that happens, happens not because it is good in itself, but ultimately for our good. That You are so powerful, You can even turn the bad circumstances into our ultimate good, for our good and for Your glory. We thank You that You are a God who is big enough to be worshipped, one who we can stand in awe of today. And we stand before Your presence, Lord, in a sense speechless. Overwhelmed with Your majesty, your goodness, your kindness, your love, your providence, your creative power. We come praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.